When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey Bubba in hour three, as I always am, at Beantric on the Twitter. Bubba, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Thanks for having me, as always. It's just another beautiful, beautiful day in the life of all sports we love.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? Let's just go ahead and start with it. I'm not going to give you more than 2 minutes to talk about it, but let's hear a golf update. What do we have as far as golf goes this week?
Well, Bryson DeChambeau got people kicked out of the last tournament because every time he did a good shot, they said, great shot, Brooksy. So that got him kicked out. He was very cranky about that. And then Brooks goes to social media, and he's sponsored by Michelob Ultra, and basically said the first 50 people that got kicked out that DM Michelob Ultra will send you some free beer. And we've seen pictures of that now. They got some free beer for having their day ruined. And so that was fun. And then the next day, Friday, Bryson, like a little crybaby baby back B, basically said the PGA Tour needs to step in because he's getting bullied now. So it's too bullied. Funny. I'm enjoying every moment of this. And I pray to God, because even Rory McIlroy, who has admitted that Bryson's distance thing had affected his game, thinks it is hilarious what Brooks is doing. So there's guys on Brooks' side here. So they really need to pair this up next week at the U.S. Open in Torrey Pines. It would be absolutely amazing.
Fingers crossed. It's a big weekend next weekend.
Yes.
To see if this happens. Now, here's what I'll say.
We'll know on Tuesday. Before we record next week, we will know if they're playing together.
Okay, here's what I'll say, because we won't, obviously, nothing will have happened when we record next week. But I'll say this. I'll try to watch some of it.
No, you won't. Just stop your sentence. Stop your sentence.
If we get the pairing. If we get the pairing. I'll try to watch some of it. I'll try to, like, step in, look. I'm not going to sit and watch it all day. I'll tell you that much. But if we get that pairing, I'll try to watch some of it. If we don't get the pairing, I'm not watching any of it.
I don't blame you. How about this? I'll just send you all the cool clips from Twitter. It'll save you time.
That sounds excellent. I mean, but if it's happening live with the pairing that we want, then I'll try to watch. But, you know, golf is not my thing. But when we come back, we're going to talk about one of my things, because I am excited about the potential for college football expanding the playoffs. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering
and smoking the
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I am here with my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BD Entrick on the Twitter. And Bubba, tell all the people all the great stuff and things you're doing on the interwebs.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at BD Entrick, as you said, and check out the Benched with Bubba podcast. If you somehow don't get enough season-long fantasy from the ITL Army, go check out Benched with Bubba. This past week, I had Vlad Sedler and John L. MLB moving averages on, so it was a very high-octane week on Benched with Bubba. And then we have the daily show we do at Line Star. I do the golf podcast, Always Pressing, written content at Roto Baller, and so much more. So check me out on Twitter. You'll get all the goods there, the at least that I think are goods. So have some fun. Plus a lot of comments that you just probably don't care for. Dongs everywhere.
That's right. It's a lot of fun. I listen into that Tuesday show every single week that you usually do with Toby. This week was with Vlad. So that it's a lot of fun, man. So and you do those shows live on Twitter too, right?
Yes. Yeah, we stream them. We use StreamYard and we stream them straight to Twitter and YouTube at the same time. I don't do the Facebook thing. Sorry, people. But Twitter and YouTube, and then I'll download it to like all your listening platforms.
Yeah. Bubba and I communicate through Instagram. We're both not Facebook guys, but I will send anytime I see a really funny clip, I send it to Bubba. There's like six people. I just go, dum, 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 dum. I send it to those same six people and you are in that group. So
I feel special. I feel very privileged.
I want to talk about this college football playoff expansion because I've been for a college football playoff ever since I can remember. I remember them talking about how it was never going to get done when I was a kid. And then when I was older, no, we're going to stick to the BCS. Dan Wetzel wrote Death to the BCS. I thought it was a great book. It kind of outlined how to do a 16-team college football playoff, which we're not to yet. And by the way, I know a lot of people don't like 12. They want to go with 8. They want to go with 6. They want to go with a smaller amount. I don't think we could ever get to where college basketball is, right?
No, not a chance. Not ever.
Nobody's getting CTE in basketball. Or I shouldn't say nobody. Very few people are getting CTE from basketball. I'm sure there's some elbows to the heads that aren't great. But, you know, football obviously has a ton of that. But, you know, with it, people are talking about the downsides to this, and there's some decent downsides, and I understand that. You know, you lose a lot of luster for parts of the regular season, right? But there's also, if you read the article that Nicole Auerbach did on The Athletic, she talks about how specifically the commissioners of the people that were involved in this first proposal, it's a couple commissioners, it's the SEC, Big 12, I think Big Ten and then the Notre Dame AD are all in this process. And, you know, they were talking about it and they said specifically that the numbers will jump in October and November as far as viewership goes, because instead of having eight teams that can make the four team playoff, you now have 25 to 30 teams that now still have a shot. And by the way, since we started the four team playoff, we've had you know, which has gone on for what would that be, 12 years, we've had 28 spots,
longer than it feels like. Yeah,
we've had 28 spots. 20 of those spots have gone to Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State. So only eight other teams, not those teams, have made the tournament. So, and I'm sure there's a couple that got in twice in there. So it's, to me, I love it because I don't see much downside at all. And look, I'm one of the people that, look, if Texas goes undefeated, it doesn't matter who they played, what their schedule was, you know, if they won every game by 1 point, Texas is popular enough that they're getting into the tournament. So if Steve Sarkisian comes in and turns this around and we keep constantly making, you know, the playoff, I might be a person that would go, you would think a Texas fan would go, well, I don't want this because if my team's good enough, they're definitely making it. But I think I just like it better that everybody has a chance, you know, and it gets the G5 teams away from complaining. Oh, well, what's the, we can't make the tournament anyway. You know, why do we want to go through all this trouble and all this stuff or make a tougher schedule, because it's, you know, no G5 team has made the 4-team playoff yet, even though they can be eligible. But what are your initial thoughts on expanding to 12? Is it too much? Do you like it? What's like the first thing that jumps out to you?
I absolutely love it. Like, why hasn't this not happened yet? We've been wanting an expansion forever. Like you said, 16 makes sense because people see the bracket of 8 and 8 on each side. So it looks easy, but you do the 12, you get the big guys from bye weeks. It makes sense in the end, in the grand scheme of things. And the most important thing is, like you mentioned, for anybody that's a baseball fan, just last year alone with the expanded playoffs, you remember how many more teams were involved and actually going for it and how much more fun it was to watch?
Yeah, the trade deadline was bigger, you know. It
changes everything. So, like college football, we watch it so many times, and when a really good team just like slips on the banana peel in 1 week, like, well, season's over, I'm going to go do something else. Like, I got the last 4 weeks don't matter anymore. But you expand this and they go and win out, or even if they go and like to the title game and maybe they lose, it's still a good loss, they can still get in the playoffs. Like, this is a hope. Big difference. So you're going to keep filling the stands, eyeballs on TVs. You know what that does, Bogman? That brings money to the situation, and money leads to everything. Follow the money trail. You will find where the end scheme is, and that is an expanded playoffs. That's why they've wanted to do it forever. They've wanted to make sure the money was right, because you mentioned which heavy hitters were sitting at the table. There's some conferences still not there yet because they're probably sitting there going, well, how do we make this right for us instead of just them? Because in reality, you look at the SEC, and there's usually years where you can make cases for 3, 4, 5 teams. How do we make it so it's not the SEC versus everybody else type thing?
Well,
and
see,
that's the dilemma.
The SEC actually would like 12, but they wouldn't go for 8 because
they know they can put more teams in at 12.
They can. Well, I think the main contributing factor is the way the tournament will work is that the top 4 ranked conference champions will all get a bye. So the other 8 teams play in the tournament, and those four games will be on campuses.
That's a big thing, because that's always the deal, is you can't expect people to travel like 4 times.
Right.
So it makes it, and it's a perk that you still made the dance, but you finished high enough to get a home game. So
right, exactly. So and I think the reason that the SEC wouldn't approve an 8 team is because you would then have, I think it's the all P5 conference champions and three at larges. So if let's just say that Alabama slips in the conference championship, right? Yeah. And let's just say it's a year where they're really good. Maybe they had an injury and they had 1 loss before that. Now they're a 2-loss team. If they drop down to 9 now in the rankings, they're out, and they were the SEC's best chance to win.
And that makes sense, because they're good enough. We've seen that time and time again with certain teams that it just like, oops, it happens. And they're better than pretty much anybody in the 14 playoff. And now they're sitting there watching. So I love it. I love it. And I love it also because it brings the element of the March Madness, where any team can win on any given day.
That's right.
So even though Bama should be able to win like 3 games and win the whole damn thing, no one would be shocked if one of these teams goes, you know what? Not today. Not so fast.
Right, exactly. And I mean, come on. What teams are you expecting to get those 4 byes most years, right? Yeah, it's still going to be those same 4
Alabama,
teams.
Alabama, Oklahoma, USC, and so like
no, well, Ohio the 4 State. Teams we mentioned, Clemson, Oklahoma, yeah. USC, or Ohio State, and Bama. So, those are probably going to be the 4 that get the bye week and the extra rest most years anyway. Yep. So, if Coastal Carolina wins and now they have to go play Bama and Alabama beats them by 75, tough.
So be it. They had their chance.
That's exactly right.
Because they get the first game, which would be awesome. How cool would it be to see Coastal Carolina versus like Boise State? Like most people, college football fans would love that. A lot of people wouldn't. We would love that. Me and you would love it. And the winner gets to play Bama. Hey, we've seen weirder things happen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It probably won't. But we've seen it.
Right. Look, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. We got to go to a break, but I want to talk a little bit more about why I love this. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. It's a great day here at In This League. You guys should check us out. Like the Welsh has mentioned a couple times, if you want to check out our merch store, InThisLeague.fans. We'll take you right there to our Teespring store. We got all kinds of great stuff for you there. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. I've got IDP rankings up there. I've got Superflex PPR rankings as well. The Welsh has over 500 minor leaguers ranked. For minor leagues, we got fantasy baseball rankings. We got group me rooms with access to talk about all this stuff. We've been talking about this college football playoff expanding. And like I mentioned before, Bub, the way it's going to work, it's first of all, it can't take effect until 2023 at the absolute earliest. And in this article, Nicole Auerbach wrote for The Athletic, she mentioned also that the TV deal with ESPN is done in 2026. So that would also be a potential marker. Do they want to wait until 2026 and then make these networks bid on it? So instead of just, you know, we're going to do this and now you have to give it to ESPN, right? So you're not going to make a ton more money on it. So, so that is interesting, and there's bumps in the road. And by the way, this is nowhere near done at all. It's not even close. This is a first proposal. Like I said, a couple conference leaders in there, but some big ones. I mean, you get the SEC on board, the Big 12 on board, Notre Dame on board. And Notre Dame is at a disadvantage in this system, too, because top six conference champions and the top four conference champions get a bye. So Notre Dame, being an independent and not part of a conference right now, will never be eligible for a bye week until they officially join a conference, which we expect to immediately happen as they'll do it. I mean, Notre Dame's not going to not take their bye, right?
Yeah, so, no doubt about that. They won't do it until the year it starts. If it's 2026 or whatever, they will be joining a conference.
They'll join the ACC.
They have to for basketball's at and their everything
their
already.
Their baseball, so. Everything else which, except football.
Which sucks because most of their football games are against the Big Ten before COVID year. They were all against the Big Ten. So I wonder I'm assuming they might stick to the ACC. I don't know. There's so much tradition at the Big Ten, but that's maybe a whole other conversation. But
yeah, and that's – and look, the tradition is what a lot of people don't like about this. And that's understandable. You know, you don't want to – I understand people not wanting to dilute the games that happened during the regular season and everything, right? But, you know, like Bubba said earlier, you follow the money. And the money is going to be wrapped up in the TV contracts for this playoff. And if you want to get the kids paid, you got to get them more money. Now, there's a lot of, you know, I talked about this on CFP Winning Edge with Nick Allen and Xavier Trish this week. And my guy, Xavier, he's kind of against it. And he played football at Georgia State. And, you know, he said that why are these players going to play four more games for no more money? They're already getting $0.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was wondering, like, what do you do with the schedule? Because that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah. And that's another bugaboo as far as the, you know, the whole thing works out is you don't want a team playing an NFL schedule, 17 games. So you're going to have to cut some games out. I know a lot of suggestions have been to kind of get rid of those conference tournaments, which are now never going to happen, which is kind of why, you know, the SEC being behind this is big, because we're still getting conference champions and now we're getting more of a tournament. But let's not forget that, you know, a team to make it from a lower seed all the way to national title, they're adding four extra games, right? But they're the only one that would. Yeah. You know, it's not like all of these kids have to play extra.
Most of them will play one or two more extra games. That's it.
Right, exactly. One, which would be a normal bowl schedule. Yep. Two, and then you get bounced. Three or four, and, you know, I mean, you're getting to the championship here.
And at that point, no one's going to complain because they just had a heck of a run, and they're not going to complain about it.
I don't know if they're not going to complain about it, but how about we just give them a little bit of money? If they're going to be making much money from these TV contracts.
Well, this last year, didn't we just get the Trevor Lawrence deal? They're going to be able to start paying student athletes anyways.
I don't think that starts until 2023. It might start next year. I know it's starting soon.
The tournament won't start till like 26 or something. So that could be something baked into this.
It absolutely could. 100%, Bob. So that's what I'm saying is, you know, you either give them cash, you know, just write, stroke them a check, and here you go. Everyone that's in this game gets $50,000, you know, boom, there you go. And that's how it works. And, or you say, and I don't know what the price would be, what the cost would be. I don't know if $50,000 is low or high. I have no idea. So don't come at me about that. I don't care. Or, you know, they all get swag bags. Every single one of these,
the bowl games.
At the bowl game, they get swag bags. How about we make them something real? You know, how about $5,000 worth of groceries? You know what I mean? Like,
here's the down payment on the house of your choice.
Like, whatever. Yeah. like, you know, obviously, I don't think it'd be that, because just give them cash at that point. But it'll be something worth your time to go and do this, you know. I think we're still going to have guys opting out because they're going to go pro. You're never going to stop that. Right.
No, never, ever.
So, you know, now that the train is rolling on that over the last 5 years, it's never going to stop. So, but you are going to have guys that are dedicated. Like, you know, we saw Justin Fields go out there and play with busted ribs. We saw Trevor Lawrence play the whole season. He had literally nothing to gain, not a single thing. And he had to have shoulder surgery, not on his throwing shoulder, but he had to have shoulder surgery. And we've seen guys' careers go down real quick in these bowl games. You know, I mean, Willis McGahee almost wrecked his career with his knee getting torn up. Jake Butt was going to be a much higher pick, the tight end out of Michigan, before tearing his up in an Orange Bowl that didn't matter. You know, so I understand, and I'm not trying to decide for these kids. You know, they ultimately have to decide for themselves. But I think if you give them some incentive to play
big time,
you know, you're going to make it much, much better for them. And I don't know if that has been discussed among these, you know, guys that are making these decisions or not. But, you know, if we see this happen, we see this get implemented, and then a bunch of injuries are happening to these kids in these games, it's going to have to stop. You know, they'll cut it back down to eight teams, six teams, whatever, because, you know, half the team is going to opt out of this to not get hurt, to keep their, you know, their slim chance of making a NFL roster. And you can't blame them for that. You know, that's their ultimate dream, is to make money playing the sport. So, but I love it. And I just don't, I guess I understand the traditionalist here and everything, but, you know, sure, it's going to make sometimes those top end big games a little less interesting during the regular season. But when it's all on the line, you're going to have way more people watching it. You have more games to watch. That more college football, to me, is better. And
you know what you can do, and it sounds like a bad idea for now, but if you want the playoff games, maybe you knock off a non-conference game or two from the schedule.
Sure. I mean, because
there's ways to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing, you know, William and Mary for the deaf and blind. Yeah. You know, I mean, half of these games are cupcake schedules. And that's another issue. People are, you know, that, you know, why would you schedule somebody tough when, you know, you can face somebody easy and have more wins, but strength of schedule is still going to be involved, you know, and there's still going to be controversy and drama and all that stuff based on who gets in as far as like 9 through 12 goes, right? Like, all those at-large bids are still going to be under a microscope and be reviewed, and you're going to have to say, well, you know, Oregon lost this game by a field goal in September. They should have won that game. They're not getting in because of it, you know? So those games are ultimately still going to matter, and I don't think it waters it down nearly as much as college basketball does, because I got to be honest with you, Bubba. I mean, I might have watched 2 Texas games pre-tournament before, you know, the March Madness happened. And you know, that is severely watered down. We're not even getting close to that. This is still less than 10% of teams making the tournament.
Yeah, no, college basketball, I used to religiously watch that, and I don't remember the last time I sat and watched, made a point to watch a college basketball game, like a couple years. It really hasn't checked the box for me at all. NBA's that way. You want to talk about watered down people? Like, goodness gracious.
Too many teams make the playoffs. Too many
teams make it. The games don't matter. Like, you have losing teams with losing records making the playoffs. Like, that's an issue, folks. I know they're getting paid, so you're not as worried. That's an issue. That should not be happening. That's like participation trophies. Let's go on that discussion. I'm good with these kids getting a chance, because the other angle is, yes, kids are going to are grown men, I should say, are going to opt out, and you can't blame them for that. There's also a bunch of them.
Decision.
Yeah, there's also a bunch of them that this is their last games. So they like, let them go out in a blaze
of glory. All out on the line.
Why take that away from those kids? It's not just, let's not think about the 10% that are going to go make a lot of money. Let's think about the rest of them that are going to get a chance to do this. And then they're going to work at some job somewhere for the rest of their life and talk about the stories of the 16 glory days playoffs. Like,
that's right.
Let them go have that moment. Like, let's look at the big picture here. So,
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to see the downside, but I try to, you know,
you got to look at both sides of it.
But when I do get entrenched on a side, I try to see all angles, and I understand the concerns. And look, like I said, I don't think this works without paying the guys in the tournament.
There's going to have to be some kind of compensation somewhere. Like, there's going to have to be something. How they figure that out, I don't know. There's going to be money there, so they can't use that as an excuse. We know that.
Right.
It's just a matter of how they can do it. And then the whole discussion, who gets paid what, like, you got to make that's what they
got to make
out.
It fair. Right. Yeah. And that, I think at the end of the day, that's the biggest hurdle is making sure that, because these guys are going at an extra risk and you're making so much more money, that they have to be compensated some way. So, and you know what, if you give them some money, they're going to have more incentive to want to make the tournament.
Money talks. So,
That's exactly right. But we'll be back. We're going to talk some NFL, Julio trade, and all that good stuff. Stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm
In This League.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Host Scott Bogman, Bubba trying to distract me here in the middle of my spiel. Thank you, Bub. Appreciate that. But we got some NFL to talk about here, man. And look, I did it on the In This League fantasy football show, so I don't want to, I've already done my walk of shame. I was incorrect about how long this Julio trade was going to take, and Welsh 100% got it right. I just got to quit betting or opening my mouth about trades, because I never get them right. I had to give out my phone number on a show because, Jimmy Butler got traded much faster than I thought. But look, we're both going to go one for two because Aaron Rodgers ain't getting dealt, in my opinion. I don't think he's getting traded. He's either going to retire or he's going to be playing for the Packers. But Julio is traded. He goes from the Falcons to the Tennessee Titans, going to wear number 2. A lot of people made a big deal about that. I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's interesting that number 2 is Matt Ryan's number. But, maybe a little shout out to his quarterback for pretty much his whole career there. So, I don't know. What did you think about this trade? A second and a fourth for Julio and a 6. Kind of low compensation. You know, I think this is even a worse deal than the DeAndre Hopkins one, at least in the DeAndre Hopkins deal, they got David Johnson back and a second round pick. Like, David Johnson's a pretty good running back. He was a little questionable when they traded him. So maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm looking at this with rose colored glasses now that we saw David Johnson had a pretty decent year last year. But I thought it was a little light for Atlanta. Big contract to trade, though.
That's the thing. It's a little light, but big contract to trade. And it's just the market these days. We've seen it time and time again. And a lot of smart people are saying, don't be surprised if it's maybe one first or a second or something. And sure enough, it was a second and a fourth. And they even gave up a sixth, which is that was probably the most surprising part. Why did they throw a six in there? Like, just take the two and the four and walk away. But some people have made some great points. Like, second round picks these days, they're not obviously first round picks, but they're becoming more and more valuable. You've seen guys like Derrick Henry and some other very, very big time players come out with that second round pick. So a team that's rebuilding like the Falcons, you look at what the my Dolphins have been doing, you get all the first round picks, but look at every year they have multiple second rounders too and what they're doing with that. That just it helps you build the depth you're looking for in a team. It might not be the flashy pick that an early first round pick is going to be, but it helps build that depth, the team that what the Falcons are going to need a lot of pretty soon. So I think it's in that regard, it seemed light, but I get it. I love it for Tennessee. You know, everyone should know by now I'm a closet Tannehill fan. Actually, I'm not a closet. I'm out of the closet. I am a Tannehill fan. But I still have my Dolphins Tannehill jersey. The Dolphins are just idiots. But the guy's awesome. You pair him up with Brown. You have Henry. You have weapons all over the place. And he can run the ball, too. That Tennessee team's been close the last couple of years. Like, really close.
Yeah.
This is a huge move that's saying, hey, we got some weapons right now. Henry, a running back, can go down at any moment. Like, let's go get it while we can. So I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's a pretty damn good deal for Tennessee. You know, you add one of the best wide receivers in the league to a budding superstar in A.J. Brown and a superstar running back in Derrick Henry, an underrated veteran, grizzled QB at this point in his career in Ryan Tannehill. I think it's a fantastic move. Now, let's speak in terms of fantasy impact here, because what I said on ITL is that, yeah, I was high on Julio before this trade. I'm still high on him versus, you know, Fantasy Pros ECR, their expert consensus ranking. He dropped from, I believe, 13. He might have been 11. I had him at 11. No, so he was 13 before. He dropped to 15. So he dropped two spots. I dropped him also two spots from 11 to 13. And I dropped him in a different tier too, because you have, it's not the fact that you have AJ Brown there, because that's a crap argument to me, because they had Calvin in
Julio's in good enough to be
he's the one wherever he goes. That's
exactly, that argument's just not valid. I don't care who you are.
But the Titans and Ryan Tannehill had 145 fewer attempts than Matt Ryan. So they have a better defense. You know, you're not going to have to play point for point like Atlanta did a bunch of the time. And Atlanta had, I mean, nothing in the run game at all last year. So it was a high volume year as far as passing goes. You're not going to get that in Tennessee. So for me, I bumped down Julio a couple spots, just because of the sheer passing volume of the Atlanta offense. And that was probably going to happen regardless of where he went, just the volume. He could have gone somewhere like New England where the volume is crap, but he is way far away in another stratosphere of anybody. And no one's even close to him as far as the number one target. He'd get 300 targets if he went to New England. Right. But in Tennessee, you've got AJ Brown, you know, Derrick Henry's going to get a million carries. So he's the second option really behind Henry. And you can call him 2A, 2B with AJ Brown. They're both going to get a bunch of targets. So AJ Brown, I dipped a little bit. I think I only lowered him below DK Metcalf. I think that's the only guy I dropped him below, which, you know, a little shine comes off of him. He's not going to get the, with Josh Reynolds as your two is different than having Julio as your two. Yeah. Russell Gage takes a decent step up. Here's my question to you, Bub. Kyle Pitts. Hey. Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. There's a lot of people torn on him. Yeah. I have him extremely high. He's my number four tight end. So I have him. You have that big three. I put him ahead of Mark Andrews year one. You talk about him with Kittle and Waller and Kelsey, right? So that's where I am with him. I think this is better for him. I'm not going to move him in my rankings as far as tight ends go. I think I bumped him a little bit in the overall. But what are you thinking on Kyle Pitts? And I apologize if I'm leading the witness here.
No, it's a good point, because it's actually interesting on how torn people are on Kyle Pitts in this situation. Even before the Julio news, like, people had him ranked high, and there's an audience that was like, he hasn't even played a down in the NFL. How are you doing this? Well, that's what you do when you look at talented players. You look at freak athletes that can play tight end and wide receiver. Right. This is like the new breed of tight end that we've seen take over the NFL of late. And you look at a team, and heck, for those that listen enough back to our draft coverage, I was in love with the idea of the Dolphins taking Kyle Pitts. So obviously,
you were trying to find a way to make it work. You're like, yes. No, Atlanta's going to take the offensive lineman. They're going to trade out of that.
It was like always sunny, and I had the board up, and I was trying to make it all work, and it just didn't happen. But I think it's great for him. Like you said, you get one less mouth to feed, and now it's Ridley who's going to get probably a lot of the double coverage, you'd imagine, and just opens it up for Pitts. Probably opens up the red zone a lot more for Pitts instead of like the corner or the deep little routes to the Julio that he's always getting in the red zone. It's huge for Pitts. He also cannot just have to be like kind of in the slot. If they think he's athletic enough, he can go run outside a couple routes and stuff. It opens up the availability for Pitts. So I think it's awesome. You obviously, like you said, you can't move him above like Kelsey and those guys. That's just, you can't do it. But the overall, it's big, and I think it's great for him. He's probably the biggest winner, I would say, of the group, because obviously Ridley gets a bump. We've seen all the stats when Julio's not in there, when he's in there, but you also got to factor in now.
Now you're going up against CB1s all
year long. It was one thing when Julio was hurt and you got the CB1s, but they couldn't really game plan for you a ton that week. Now they are locked in to you, so it's a little different.
Yeah, and look, I love Calvin. You know, another great Bama wideout, one of many that have come out of Alabama and is an absolute stud. I really, really like Calvin, so I'm excited for him. I didn't bump him down, but I also didn't bump him up. I kept him kind of flat. I may have moved him up one spot. I don't remember moving him. Firkser also, I think, gets a little bit of a jump because, he's going to be wide open. He should be wide open. Yeah,
all the coverage should be focused on two guys over there right now.
Bringing the linebackers up to stop Derrick Henry, or dropping them back to stop everybody else and getting them off the field to stop everybody else. He can body up some DBs. So, so Firkser takes a little bit of a jump, too. Now, as far as fantasy rankings, and, you know, Welsh and I talked about this a little bit. We went over the Fantasy Pros rankings or their article about players to avoid for wide receiver and running backs. And one of them was somebody had listed Davante Adams. And that's interesting because, I understand the logic. The logic is Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there. You think he's not going to play at all, which, look, I mean, it's 50-50 right now. I have confidence that Aaron Rodgers isn't getting traded, but I don't have confidence that he is definitely playing for the Packers. I wouldn't be surprised if he walked away. But Jordan Love has made a little buzz at camp. And I'm a big Jordan Love fan. I didn't love the pick because I need a wideout so bad, but it didn't change my mind on Jordan Love. I still really like him. And I think he's going to, especially a year sitting behind Rodgers, I think he learned a lot and he's made a little bit of buzz, and he's got Davante Adams as his number one target. So he's got a lot going for him here, Bub. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's why I've seen a lot of people say, Davante Adams isn't worth this, isn't worth that, if Jordan Love's the quarterback. And I agree. Like, no brainer. Easy stuff here. Rodgers is better than Jordan Love. Okay. Yes, we know that. This is well established, people. Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Jordan Love hasn't really carried a jock strap in the NFL yet. Like, it's very simple. But the kid's talented. He's going to have his speed bumps. But you know what Davante Adams does? He makes everybody around him better. I don't care how good or bad Jordan Love is. He can throw it up Adams' way 15 times a game, which he should, no matter what the coverage is. He should. Adams will catch 8 to 10 of those at least. So he's still going to put up monster numbers because you mentioned, instead of drafting Love, they should have got wide receivers, and they didn't. So the weapons are still, the cupboard's rather bare unless you're still in love with, St. Brown and all these other guys over there. It's basically, It's ugly. So it's the Devontae Adams show. Yeah. It's the Devontae Adams show, no matter who the quarterback is, and that's just going to be fine that way. I've had look at the Jets, for crying out loud. They've always had fantasy viable receivers. The Browns have always had fantasy viable receivers. They haven't had fantasy viable quarterbacks, but they have receivers. Right. You can do it with Jordan Love.
Well, and also think, you know, I mentioned this before, so I apologize for being a dead horse, but, you know, how many really bad quarterbacks did DeAndre Hopkins succeed with? And there's a better example than Hopkins, too, because Hopkins went TJ Yates, Matt Schaub was his quarterback for a long time before Watson came along. Hopkins has been there for a while. How about it? Andre Johnson as well? Same thing. Bunch of crap quarterbacks for Andre. The biggest example is here in the desert with Larry Fitzgerald after Kurt Warner left.
Oh, yeah.
John Skelton was the quarterback for a while here, and Larry was putting up numbers. You know, I mean,
you feed your best weapon when you're a bad player. You feed them even more. Like you lean on that crutch. It's very simple.
Yeah. And, you know, you also set up plays, you know, rub routes, screen passes, like you get the ball in his hands. So you design plays. And look, Jordan Love is he's a good athlete, dude. He's going to bring a lot to that offense when he finally ends up playing.
As much as people want to give the coaching staff of the Packers a hard time, very, very good offensive play callers. They will scheme. They will scheme for Love to succeed with Devontae Adams.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to see Jordan Love, but you know, who would mind a couple more years of Aaron Rodgers?
I want Aaron Rodgers in that green and gold so bad.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see if it happens, but a lot of guys moving up and down boards. When we come back, we're going to end the 3-hour tour. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You guys hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Like I said, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, group me rooms, rankings, all kinds of good stuff for you there. In This League.fans for any of our merch. We'd appreciate it if you hit that up and checked it out as well. Bubba, we got, you know, the Welsh was jealous, so we had to fill out a all-star ballot with him.
Of course he was jealous.
So we did that, but I saw this article about the Home Run Derby, and Yermin Mercedes wants to be in it. What do you think of that, of Yermin potentially getting in the Home Run Derby? How many home runs does he have? Not a ton, right? What is it, 5?
You know what he does have? He has a phenomenal home run off a guy that will throw the same speed as a pitcher in the Home Run Derby. So Tony La Russa will be angry, but who cares? So it'll be a position player can pitch to him. He knows how to take him deep. Very simple stuff. And if anything, it's pure entertainment. Could you imagine Mercedes? He'll have like 3 buttons undone. He'll have like 7 gold chains on. He'll be just oozing. He'll be oozing machismo like Razor Ramon. It'll be absolutely amazing what he'll be doing out there. Then you'll have Vladito and the guys, you know, fanning them off like they used to do with Ortiz and stuff. We need it. We need it more than ever. Everybody that said they played with him in like the Dominican League and everything say he's one of the funnest, coolest guys out there. Let him be on the stage. Let him have it. Like, bring baseball. Make baseball fun again. Here it is.
Yeah. Well, what is there any other guy that you just really, really want to see in the Home Run Derby?
Well, I always like Vladito because he's awesome. Yeah. Like he's built for the Home Run Derby. You know, Tatis Jr., but probably bad for the shoulder. Probably a bad idea.
It's in Colorado too, man. Like, don't you want to see, like, I know he's always hurt and maybe you don't want to do this, but Stanton or Judge, they have to be in it, right?
Oh, watch him just hit him a mile. Yeah, put them out there. Put Joey Gallo out there. Turn the humidor off for a night, please. Just turn it off. Turn the humidor off. I want to see balls leave this. Like, how many balls hit the mile line up on the purple line?
Oh, yeah. Like,
let's go, boys and girls.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So probably the best part. That's my favorite part of the All-Star Weekend. I've been to a bunch of them, is the Home Run Derby. But that is it for us. We hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope you guys are enjoying the NBA playoffs and the Major League Baseball season, the upcoming football season. So we will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.